You're listening to The Covenant Season, a six-part sermon from the Genesis series. In the book of Genesis, chapters 12 through 24, God gives his promise to Abraham, and then real life begins. The Covenant Season of Genesis teaches of the father of faith, his amazing personal experience with God, and the tragic consequence of sin. Like Abraham, our ordeals and achievements will transform our faith when we place God first. More resources are available at experiencetherock.com. Now let us join Pastor Steve McEnroy in part three, The Promise.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
That's what I like to hear. Good. I like to hear that. You know, I think that song really touched my heart. There's many days in my life that I don't know about you guys, but I can't get much further than that. God, rescue me. I'm serious. God, rescue me. You know, get me through this next step, this next decision, this next hard spot. And he's a rescuer. He does it. He's so faithful. You know, I get the pleasure of continuing on with our Genesis series. My name's Steve McEnroy, and I'm one of the four pastors at the Rock Church. And my family and I, we love Jesus, and we serve him in Provo right now. And so that's where we're at. But it's good to be here. Tonight we're going to cover Genesis 15, 16, and 17. So we're going to go through three chapters, and it's going to be bada boom, bada bing, bada bang. There is so much stuff in here, and God's word's going to teach us, you and I. But we're going to have to make a choice. Aren't we? We're going to have to make a choice as we look at God's word. It won't come back void. God has promised us that. So right now, I just ask you guys to make a choice. We're going to look at scripture. We're going to look at God's word together. We're going to read three chapters, almost every verse we're going to read today and look at and talk about. And I know often for me, I need to lock in. Man, today had a bunch of stuff in it. For me, I don't know how. If it did for you, most of us, we all have all these things going on, and we could miss it easily. You could miss it tonight, and I could too. And I'm just going to say, make that choice tonight to have God change you. That's what's at hand here. The creator of the universe could change you tonight. I hope you believe that. I hope you do. I do. I believe God could do something tonight to help us, to feed us, to direct us, to protect us, to change us, to get a hold of our hearts and minds and get our eyes on Jesus. Because there is so much information, we're going to go 15, 16, and 17. And 17, that chapter concerns Abram's circumcision. And so if anything, we'll cut that off at the end, okay? So no pun intended. So let's just pray and we'll get right into it. Father God, there are so many times that you've rescued me, oh my, even today. God, we need you today to just rescue us from distractions and a lot of stuff that just goes on in my brain, God. Just rescue me from my own thoughts. I pray, Father God, that our thoughts would become your thoughts, that your word would change us, God. You say, faith comes from hearing. We want to hear from you. And from the word of Christ, from your word, you've given it to us. And I praise you and thank you for that, God. And I just pray tonight that you just take these next few minutes and just really speak into our hearts, God. We need you. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're just going to get right into it. Right into it. We start in chapter 15. Starts off in Genesis chapter 15. It's God's covenant with Abram in chapter 15. And subpoint A, I'll probably drive some of you engineers crazy because I'm not necessarily an engineered type of guy. But in subpoint A, God's word comes to Abram. So let's just start. We'll dig right in. Here's God's words, verse 1, 15, verse 1. After this, it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Do not be afraid. God's word came to Abram in a vision, didn't it? God's word can come to you and I also. In fact, God gave us the Bible. Hallelujah! God gives us his word today. We have the Bible. God's given it to us. And to be able to hold in our hand the complete and perfect revelation of God to man is a treasure without equal. It really is. Take it seriously. It's a treasure without equal to have God's word. You know, God has spoken to people in many different ways. In a vision here for Abram, he gives us his word. He's spoken to me before through his word. Somehow I was just like, oh, that was God. Has that ever happened to you? It has to me, and I want more of it. The more it happens, the more I want. You know, we live in an age of information at our fingertips and resources of different sermons and commentaries and study Bibles and software and books and on and on and on. That's the world we live in. All this information coming at us. That's kind of where you and I live now. And we can get fed in just a number of different places, but at certain times in our life, and for me included, to prepare for this, I had to get alone with God. And you need to get alone with God. At certain times in our lives, you know, all that stuff available, that's great. God's given us that, and those commentaries, and all those brainiacs, man, they look at everything. But God can speak to you through his word with no helps. Did you know that? And you and I, we need to be a people. Our church needs to be people that go to God's word and get alone with God. And what's he saying to you? And what's he saying to me? And go to a quiet place and get away and turn off all the noise, because God has things to say to us, and he wants to speak to us. It's perfect. It's personal, and God speaks to each of us specifically and uniquely, doesn't he? And that's what he's done for Abram here. Get alone with God. You know, one man said, I milk a lot of cows, but I churn my own butter. And Josh, being an old farmer, he probably can relate to that. But I milk a lot of cows. I get a lot of different information, and I might even read commentaries. I like commentaries, don't get me wrong here. And I like to learn from them. But sooner or later, it's got between me and God. And we have to churn our own butter. He's got to speak to me, and he's got to put it on my heart. He's going to teach me in the way I can learn. And that's really, you got to break it down for me. We've got to get back to the ABCs. But right here, God speaks to Abram. Took time to speak to him. Then it says, this is the first time in the Bible it says, fear not. God says, do not be afraid. And I'm so thankful that it will not be the last. It won't be the last time that God says, don't be afraid, fear not. What a verse. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. If you know Jesus tonight, he is your shield and your very great reward. I hope you grab a hold of that. I hope you understand that he is your shield and your very great reward. And that is more valuable than anything in the world this world has to offer. He is your shield and your very great reward. This is God's promise to us today also. He is, if you know the Lord, he is your shield, your protection, and your very great reward. You don't need anything else. I don't either. We don't need anything else. We have protection from our God, and he'll be our very great reward. That's our hope, isn't it? I don't have to run after all these rabbit trails and all these different things and all this education, all these things that I need. I know God. I know God. And many of you know God. That's enough. Oh, man. Sometimes we just have to meditate on that. That okay, I'm gonna be all right. God has promised me a bunch of things in his Bible, and they're true, and I'm gonna be all right. There's a shield there. I am protected. And one day when I do die, if I die tonight, I'll be in heaven. I'll be better off. So if it does happen tonight, you guys remember when I said that right now. I'll be woo! Man, I know where I'm going. I do. I know. Oh, my. Oh, I can't wait. This is going to be so good. God's going to take care of us, man. No more tears. You know, we had to change the monitor out here because I've been too cheap to buy glasses, honestly. I'll just be honest with you. So I was looking, I go, you know what? I can't read that screen. So we had to, I'll have perfect vision someday. So we continue on. Now, Abram questions God, and let's just read it. But Abram said, "O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "You have given me no children. So a servant in my whole household will be my heir." Now, Abram questions God, and it's okay to question God. In fact, that's a good thing to dialogue with God and work it out and wrestle out things that are on your mind. And these are simply honest questions. Abram's just stating the facts. They're not questions of doubt. He's just saying, okay, God, yeah, you're here, my shield, and you're my great reward. Fact is, no kids. And, you know, it's just not happening. And so it's okay. He just is dialoguing with God, and God brings hope to Abram once again in his answer. And we can see in verses 4 and 5. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" Well, here's Abram, but God has come to him. God is speaking to him. And Abram recognizes that. He recognizes this as God. And he's talking to God. Have you guys ever gone outside and looking at the stars? Every time when I get an opportunity, especially in the summertime, when I go camping or something, I get out on a mountaintop, and I love to stargaze, you know. Even when you have bad sight, you know, it's beautiful. You walk out, and my kids, I used to be so excited when we would be out camping and say, "Oh, look at that. Look at that." And Abram's with God. I don't know if he's holding his hand or not, but he said, "Abram, I promise you, your offspring will be as numerous as the stars. And then indeed, you probably can't even count them all." And that was a promise from God right there. Boom. That promise is true today. We are some of those twinkling stars, maybe, that Abram saw. The promise is true. It's for you and it's for I still. That hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. This is the same God. He had a plan all along. A bunch of things have happened, and a bunch of things even in the scriptures as we go along, we'll see. But you and I are included in that. If you're a man or woman of faith, you're included in that. Believe it. So I love this next verse, and it'd be hard for me to contain it. Here we go. So Abram believes God. Abram believed the Lord. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. I know Mark Shearing was down with the band last night in Provo, and he just about went off on this. I could tell that he wanted to go on and off, because bam! There it is. There it is. Abram believed the Lord. Now there it is. His faith is in the Lord. There's something about that. His faith is in the Lord. It's one thing to believe the Bible, what the Bible says about God and his promises. It's another thing altogether to move from the intellectual acceptance of the facts to the absolute trust in his person. And it's just a whole different thing. Many have head knowledge, but it's 18 inches from your heart. Many, I had head knowledge all my life. At least I thought I did. I thought I knew God. I was 37 years old when I finally, I believed in God. Not only his word, but God. It all changed. I stepped right out into a relationship with God. Everything changed then for me. And God's been teaching me and growing me and leading me along. You see, that there's a point. There's so many people I meet, and they know everything. They know it all. Oh, yeah, Easter's coming up, and tell you the whole account and everything that's going on. Yet, they haven't actually put their faith in God. Abram does that right here. By faith, he believes in God. One belief leads to hell. The other belief leads to heaven. Leads to heaven. There's a line drawn. Do you know God or not? Or do you just know of him? Where are you at tonight? I know not everybody here knows him. But God wants you to. And he's drawing you in. And you can't stop God. You can't. It has nothing to do with our church, cool church building or bands or anything. If God wants you. It's all over in Scripture, and we see it all over. He wanted Abram way back when. Starts with Abram. Okay, here we go. So Abram believes God. So let's continue on. Verses 7 through 11. God provides a visual for Abram. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I'll gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Maybe they're too small, I don't know. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. So, here it is, in 7 through 11. God is so personal at times. Sometimes we need a 2x4 up the head, upside the head. And God, you know, he's very capable of that. And in Abram's day, what was happening here was a ceremony that would often take place. And when two people had a covenant or were making an agreement, whatever that may be, a land transfer or whatever it was, if you made a covenant with another man, this was the ceremony that took place. So you take these animals, and Abram knew exactly what God was asking because he'd probably done it many times. And you don't forget doing a ceremony like this. So he gets a heifer, you know, you don't cut those in half with the scissors. So it's a project. So it's a project. So imagine, if you will, this ceremony where I don't know where, maybe they're on a hilltop or a nice flat piece of land, and they take these animals and they cut them in half, and there's these carcasses laying on each half, and maybe the birds were too small to cut in half, so maybe they put one on each side. But the idea was one man would stand on one end, and the other guy would stand on the other end, and they would walk through this carcass thingy. What a sight. The guy really have a visual on that. And they walk and they meet in the middle. And they meet in the middle, and what that was it was a ceremony, and it was just a symbol that if either one of you were to break this covenant, the idea was that you would end up like that cut in half animal. So this is a covenant. I take this serious. So much so that we did this ceremony so that everyone could see us walk, meet in the middle, and I agree with you. I make a promise to you that I will follow through. And you've made a promise to me that you will follow through. And if either one of us reneges on that, bam, we're the cut in half animal. That was the idea. Seems like quite a bit of pomp and circumstance to me, but could just, you know, sign it. I don't know. But that's what in that day it was significant that would happen. So let's keep going on here. And of course, we don't want to forget about those nasty birds of prey came in and tried to disrupt everything. And there's some significance to that too, but we can't go into that. But there is always someone trying to disrupt what God's doing. Okay, let's continue on in verses 12 through 16. God's still providing this. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they'll be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I'll punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure." So Abram receives this prophetic message from God. And I don't know, even as far as the darkness goes, I think God still does this in the lives of his people. Maybe that's happened to you lately. Maybe you've been in a dark place. He sends us into dark times of life so that we might learn to trust him more. He allows our faith to be matured in the darkness. The disciples, Daniel, Noah, etc., all had to face their darkness. For if you are saved, then the Lord is working out his perfect will in your life, and he is growing you into more perfect maturity, you see. Now, I don't know what everybody's up against you tonight, and some of you are probably in a pretty difficult place. And rest assured, if you know Christ as your Savior, he's going to help you work through that. And it's probably, even as hard and difficult as it is, he's gonna grow you through it all. That's because he loves us so much. He allows us to go through things that challenge us, that stretch us. He never wastes a hurt. Some of these things are like, yeah, I'd rather not go through that. Well, yeah, you have to. Oh, my. Okay. You know what? He doesn't always explain what he's going to do either. Here in this prophetic message, God was kind to Abram. He kind of laid out to him what was coming down the pike, what was going to happen for years and years and years to come. God doesn't always do that either, but he did for Abram. Let's continue on. When the sun had set and the darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot and a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, "To your descendants, I give this land from the river Egypt to the great river Euphrates." So not only does God promise him offspring, and this is actually verses 17 and 18, not 18 and 19. He not only does he give him promise the offspring, now he promises him all this land. God says, "Oh, I'm going to give you all this land as well." And he clearly made himself understood. A fire pot and a torch. You know, I don't know. The way I read it, it's like floating in the air or something. So a fire pot and a torch. Remember, he set up the ceremony, and it was dark. It was night, and the fire pot and the torch came from one end all the way to the other. You see, God is a promise keeper. And when God makes a covenant, you don't need another party in that. You don't need someone to meet him halfway. God always comes through on his promises. God is a promise keeper, and he made a covenant with Abram here. And this symbolizes that I am God. I've made you this promise, and it's going to come true. You are going to have offspring. You are going to receive land. And at that point, I would think Abram was like, "Oh, my. Why me? Why me?" It doesn't matter why him. It's God's thing. God chose him to be a part of this. Amazing. Okay, now we're going to fast forward to chapter 16. And boy, the whole scene changes here. Some years have passed by. When we move over into 16, there's just a whole different stage that's going to be set in chapter 16. And you'll see that in a minute. And, you know, sometimes God takes heroes of the faith, like Abraham, the father of the faith, takes heroes of the faith and displays maybe some of their worst blunders and awkward moments in their life. And that's what we see in chapter 16. Excuse me. Because chapter 16 displays some of Abram's humanity. some of his humanity. It really does. You know, my wife Jeannie and I attended a marriage conference last weekend in Colorado. It was a great investment of time and money, but the thing is, God is so kind that he's teaching me things. Oh, boy, it just never ends. But, you know, it's every once in a while, you really got to pour and invest in your marriage. So Jeannie and I got away, and we went to this marriage conference in Estes Park, and there's some good brothers and sisters there that told their stories, and Jeannie and I really had some time to work on our marriage, and it was just a glory to God. It was good. It just kind of rolled in when I've been studying this Genesis for months now. I've just been living there. I can't get it off my mind. But that's good. That's what God has for me. And so I think that the marriage conference kind of dovetailed right into this section here. So I'm gonna jump up and down a little bit here probably because God's speaking to my heart, and I think probably I'm not the only one that he's speaking to here. And I think God could speak to maybe you too in this. I don't know if you see, God has clearly given specific roles for men and women, especially in marriage. God's given us roles for men and women, especially in marriage. And I've seen previews of the show Desperate Housewives. You know, I've never watched it. I probably never will. Without ever seeing a single episode, it grieves me deeply. It does. But you know what? So does this next section of scripture. It grieves me. And it reminds me of the Desperate Housewives preview. And so does much of the world that we live in. I'm telling you, so does much of the world that we live in. And Abram struggled. Abram, in the Old Testament, struggled with many of the same issues that we do today. I think it's just extremely relevant right where we're at now. Oh, my. I'm going to show you that in a minute. It's just let's just open up. Let's look at the Desperate Housewives thing here. Here we go. Abram's faithlessness. You don't typically put that together with Abram, faithlessness. Well, Abram's faithlessness is what I titled this section. Sarai chooses to lead Abram. Let's read these first verses, chapter 16, 1 through 4. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Everyone forgot the promise. What happened to the fire pot and the torch? Everyone forgot. What happened? Wow. 10 years went by for sure. And things have changed. But, you know, we forget too. I've forgotten. Men and women, you've forgotten. I think really, honestly, I think we need to repent. You know, I do. I need to. I need to. And I think most of us probably do. Have a change of mind and turn to God about ourselves, what we are doing, and about God, who he is. The promises for us also, remember? The promises for us. How easily we forget that God will do what he says he is going to do. God is a promise keeper. Let's look closer at this. Sarai would have been looked down upon for not having children. She would In her day and age, in that culture, she would have been, oh my, I'm chilling. She would have been really looked down upon. And in her day, it would have been completely acceptable and even recommended that this is the road that we go down. It would make sense. In fact, people would be asking them, why don't you? Don't you have any maidservants? Aren't there any women in that household that can give this man a child? And so in some respects, we go, well, of course this happened. Of course this happened. But the thing is, what about the promise? What about the promise? Sarai was getting desperate and beyond childbearing age. Abram and Sarai will need faith to believe in what? In the supernatural. Because she's getting beyond childbearing age, and so is Abram. And they're not able to have kids for all these years anyway. So at this point, they had to believe that God was going to perform a miracle. And for us, many times, you might be up against something today or in your life that the only thing possible is that God's going to do a miracle. You trust him. I pray all the time for God to save Utah County, to rescue all those lost people. Just save them. You know what? I believe he can. It has to be supernatural. And I run into things all the time. Oh, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. And I, oh, God. Oh, yeah, God's in this. I've got a player in this. God can come through. And that's what was left aside here. You know, my initial response, honestly, is to accept this behavior and think, well, yeah, I would have done that too. And most men and women, you know, and definitely most men would have said, you know, hey, that's a good idea. Let's get her done. Me included. Sadly enough. But then I go, wait a minute. Wait. What about God's promise? What about God's promise? God made a promise, and he's a promise keeper, and he's going to come through. So women, I'm going to start with you. But rest assured, men. Oh boy, I'm going to talk to you too. But there's just some roles that I want to talk about here. Women, I'm going to start with you, but repent and stop leading your men. Have a change of mind about what you are doing and about who God is. God has clearly given us roles as men and women. There's no more significance, mind you, in either role. There's no more significance in either role, men and women. But God has clearly spelled out roles for men and women, hasn't he? I mean, you can find them in Genesis 2, in Ephesians 5, and in other places in the Bible. You may believe you have no other choice but to lead because your husband refuses to do so. That is a lie, and it's outside of God's plan. It's outside of God's will. Do you really believe that God will bless you when you walk outside of his plan? When you drag your family along in those plans? Whether you are married or not, walking outside of God's plan is absurd. It's absurd. And, you know, honestly, in our age of computers, intimacy can be found with someone outside of God's plan. And that's absurd. At the touch of a finger, intimacy apart from God or your husband is crazy. It really is. Now, intimacy comes in many different forms. And simply giving your heart away to someone other than God, your God-given husband or your husband-to-be, if you're single, is placing an idol in front of God. Did you know that? That's placing an idol in front of God. We must be vigilant not to conform to the world we live in. The world is just crowding in around us. It's just crowding in around us. It just gets piped into our homes. Women, please wait on God. Wait on God. Be patient. Be patient. And stop leading your men. Okay, men. Ooh, boy. If you have a weak stomach, you might need to leave. I stand here convicted because I have often placed my wife and family, and probably some of you, into situations in which they have felt they've had to lead because of my passivity. I'm convicted, all right? And God is teaching me something here, and I want to learn from it. I want to pay attention, and I want to help anyone else. I don't think I'm the only guy, without a doubt. Man, I pray that you'll repent and turn to God with me. Have a genuine change of mind about what you're doing and recognize God as the holy God he is. It is our God-given role to lead. And it's by God's grace and mercy can we fulfill that role. It's only by God's grace and mercy that we can even fulfill that role. So I suggest we get on our faces and beg God to lead us so that we in turn can lead our families and our churches. Men, young and old, single and married, divorced and separated, put no other idols before God. Grow up and put childish things away. If you are single, then give all your attention to God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you are divorced or separated, then give full attention to God because he is the only one who can help you sort out your situation. If you are married, then lead. Lead your wife and your children. Have a plan and work the plan. Don't even think of experiencing intimacy with anyone other than your God or your future wife or the God-given wife you now have. We are all adequate because of Christ, and we are without excuse. Do not walk outside of God's plan. His promises are true. God is our shield and our very great reward. He is all we need. People around us, they ought to feel confident in our presence because we are genuinely following Christ. Honestly, God, I cry out to God. Help us. Let us be a generation. God, let us be a generation of men. Your men who walk in the role that you've given us. That we would lead. So our wives wouldn't feel so insecure that they offer up their maidservant. God, help us in that. There's three reactions I want to talk about that happened here next, and I probably should have put three wrong reactions to trouble, but let's go back to this. Then Sarai said to Abram, you know, in my office when I was practicing this, I had a hard time ever getting past that point because I'm holding back, believe me. Then Sarah said to Abram, you're responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. I think she would have said it more like, may the Lord judge between you and me. Your servant is in your hands. Here's Abram's response. Your servant's in your hands. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar. So she fled. Okay, now there's three responses here. Now certainly, you know, in compassion we think, you know, Sarai had to make a move. Someone had to lead because, well, I don't know, it looked to me like Abram's doing the leading here. You know, I think if he was leading the family, if Sarai, you know, if she really felt secure in her man, she wouldn't have tried to lead. Maybe he should have gone down the road of, you know what, honey, remember the promise. I know it's 10 years ago, but let me remind you that there was a ceremony, and you were there, and I were there, and I was there, and God promised us that we'd have children. So, honey, please, just be patient. No, I'm not going to sleep with your maidservant. I trust God. I trust God. And then she might say, oh, okay, my man's looking to God. Okay, all right, whoo, settle down here. And then Abram, and you know, I just think the same, and Adam in his passive move, where was he when Eve was being tempted in the garden? Here again we have Adam. I don't know what he's thinking here. Your servant's in your hands, why don't you just handle it? I've got some man things to do. I got this big screen, and I've got to go out with the sheep, and there's just man things that I got to do here. So there you go. You just handle it. Just lead. Just take care of that. Oh, man, and it sounds ridiculous, but we do this all the time. Man, it's our God-given role to parent our children. Certainly our wives play a huge role in that. We depend on them greatly. But it comes back to you, Dad. You're the one. Discipline, everything along the line. Now, your wife's just as significant, just as important. It takes the two of you. The two become one. You're one. You're one. God recognizes you as one, man and wife. But there's a role, and I'm not making them up. God has given them to us. Remember the Word of God? Remember that? He's given them those. So, the men, we're called to lead. Women, you're called to follow. That's God makes that clear. And, boy, you watch one show tonight after this on television, and that's busted. I think we need to come back and be the men and women God's called us to be, and then watch what happens. Oh my, then what God could do with men and women are fully submitted to him and following his plan. Oh man, this set this world on fire. And this church is a fantastic example of men and women that are trying to do that. But I think we fall short, honestly. I've fallen short. And I'm going to work harder. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to ask God to help me with that. Because it's not that I have to, you know, God will help me with it. I am confident of that. By his grace and his mercy, he'll help me and he'll help you. He'll help us. We have to recognize, there's a plan in place. Let's walk in it. And I think we miss it a lot of the time. Okay, let's continue on here. Because remember now, God helps Hagar. What did Hagar do in the whole thing? Sarai was harsh on her, so she just split. So I guess for me, it's kind of like, well, that was the best plan of all. Just get out of there. Get out of there. And that's what we think. You know, often you think, well, I'm just leaving. Forget it. I'll just find a new town, new church, new whatever. I'll go start a new thing. But that's not the answer. God doesn't want us to just split. He wants us to turn and face and work through things, no matter what they are. In the same situation with Hagar. But God sends an angel to Hagar. He saves her right here. Boom. Let's read verses 16. Or chapter 16, 7 through 10. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. So God shows up to help Hagar. And help her come back to her senses here. Because honestly, what is best for the child here? See, Hagar would have been a foreigner in any land that she would have gone to. So leaving there would have, her and the child, there would have been no life there. They probably would have been in poverty. It would have been a horrible life. And God says, no, go back, submit to your mistress. That boy needs to be with his father. And he's going to help him. So, that's a pretty good ring there. Let's go on, see what goes on. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you're now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He'll be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. Wow, you know, I wonder if anyone told my mom that. Yeah, that's Steve. He's going to be a wild donkey of a man. But we'll see it. You know, I was in a lot of ways. And we'll see it all come true because her children become the Arab nations. God knows. God knows. And he told her up front, you better be prepared for this. It won't be easy, but I'm with you. And then he comes up to her again, and these next verses are so tender, I think. She gave this name, Hagar, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. God spoke to her. I mean, she was probably so frightened and beside herself and emotional and everything else. And God spoke to her. You're the God who sees me. And somehow, some way, she had to know that. He had revealed himself to her in some way. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Beer Leroy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Wow, he's 86 years old. See, Hagar puts her faith in God. I see the one who sees me. Often God will make us wait, but he always holds true to his promises. Ishmael is born when Abram is 86. Now off we go to chapter 17. We actually made it to chapter 17. That's good. Won't have to cut it off. Abram's circumcision. At some point, God confirms the covenant in Abram's circumcision. Let's look at this verse, 1 and 2. When Abram was 99 years old, so remember we just talked about he's 86, now we go to chapter 17, all of a sudden he's 99, some years have passed, sometimes God will be quiet, sometimes you won't hear from God. You might be that right now. I talk to people all the time, you know, seems like God isn't talking to me. Seems like there's a distance. I don't know. I'm just not connecting with God. And that happens to all of us. Work through it. Work through it. Pursue him. Pursue him. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and I will greatly increase your numbers. Wow, 13 years have passed. God's been silent. And then here he is again. God is patient. He shows up, reaffirms Abram once again. And he always holds true to his promises. Let's move on to 3 through 8. Abram fell face down. I think that's a right response. I think Abram's maturing. He realizes, well, I need to be face down. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You'll be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I'll make you very fruitful. I'll make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I'll establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. So Abram gets the name change. He goes from Abram, which means exalted father, to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Can you imagine going through all your life being called exalted father and not being able to have children with your wife? And then all of a sudden, God says, okay, you're going to be father of a multitude. Change your name to Abraham. He's going around telling all the neighbors, I'm Abraham now. What's that mean, Abraham? Father of a multitude. That's a good name, Abraham. I mean, what do you think Sarai would have thought? It's one thing to have to trust God, for Abram to have to trust God. But Sarah, in a lot of areas, she had to trust God through her man. Oh my. That must have been so difficult for her. Let's move on. God institutes circumcision. Now, I know some of you guys might get faint or a little nauseous here, but God did this. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you for the generations to come. Every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner. Those who are not your offspring, whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant is in your flesh. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Yikes. What's that all about? Circumcision. You guys know what that is, don't you? Good, because I'm not going to explain it. God tells Abraham, to go under the knife and bleed for him. And this is personal. This is personal. Let's move on. God also said to Abraham, and this is Abraham's joy. God's speaking. There's a dialogue going on between Abraham and God. And God's just told him some pretty heavy stuff, hasn't he? God also said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you're no longer to call her Sarai. Good, because I have a hard time saying that. Her name will be Sarah. So from here on, she'll be Sarah, my princess. Now she'll just be princess. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abram said to God, now he's all excited. You got to realize this is, he believes God. This is not like he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to ask you some more questions. He believes him. He's just like, you're going to do it, aren't you, God? And in fact, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing as well. Bless Ishmael too. Why not? God, you're the one that can. You're the one that can bring a blessing into his life. And this is supernatural, and you're the God of the supernatural. You can do it. This is a time of joy in his life. He's laughing, and he asked for favor for Ishmael. And look how God responds in verses 19 through 23. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son. You will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you cry. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and greatly increase his numbers. He'll be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. Isn't it interesting that just like in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that we are left waiting for the promised son. All of these things had to take place. Everything points to Jesus. All of this had to come, had to happen. God foretold it. God sets all things in motion, and he will certainly see them through. And that's what he's done here. Everything, and I mean everything, in God's word points to Jesus. Now, this is the last section of scripture we've gotten to. You believe that? Three chapters, man. God's word. We're just like, oh, I can't take anymore. Well, here it is. We might as well finish it out. Chapter 17, 23 through 27. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael, and all those born in his household are bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abram and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that same day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household, or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with them. This is very significant. All kinds of stuff going on here. You know, also, we're not even going to be able to scrape the surface here. But the bottom line is, Abraham believed and obeyed. Abraham believed and obeyed. You and I, Christian, we're called to believe and obey. Are you willing to be circumcised today? Me neither. So we'll just... God is very personal with Abraham here. I'm having trouble getting past the Abram. Abraham here. Here's a thought to ponder for y'all. Some of you wives out there may not have fully given your heart to your husband. That's a hard thing to do. There may be just some part, some place in your heart. You're married, yeah, and you love them, and you're going along in marriage, and you're working at it, and you're trying hard, but there might be a spot in your heart that you have just not been able to give to your husband. And until you do, you will not experience the full measure of marriage as God intended it to be. That's hard. Well, as believers in Christ, when we're a believer, we're told in God's word that we are the bride of Christ. You and I, we are the bride of Christ. And until you or I, Christian, until we fully circumcise our hearts and give them to God. Till we fully step into that. I mean everything, not holding anything back. No knowledge. Just stepping completely from head knowledge to heart knowledge to believing in God. Until you and I actually step into that, I don't think we will fully experience the full life that Jesus promised us in John 10:10. If we're holding back just a little part that we want to keep in the dark or whatever, we can't fully experience that relationship with God as his bride. I really believe that. So tonight, if you're at a place where you know what, you haven't fully given your heart to God, we'll do it. If there's something in the dark that's keeping you from that, get it into light. Expose it to the light so that you can go further with God. And if you don't know God, and maybe just tonight you're just, wow, this is fascinating. Well, you know what? It's more than fascinating. It's everything. Really, if you don't know God, if you haven't given your heart to him or even considered it, you're missing out on the full life. And it's not necessarily easy, but it's what God intended for your life when you were born. That's what God wants. God wants you to be his bride. And all of us, he is calling him to himself as his perfect bride. Perfect bride, you and I. He's calling us to himself. I'm just going to take some time to pray now. I'm going to pray for those of us who know God that we would completely surrender to him. If you don't know God, maybe this is your time to ask God into your heart so you can experience the full life. Father God, I just pray to you. I thank you for tonight. I thank you for Abraham, our father of faith. It took faith in so many different levels for him to do the things that he did in his life. Lord, we thank you that. We thank you for your word, Lord. Faith comes from hearing. We heard your word tonight, God. So help build our faith, God, each of us. Me, God, my brothers and sisters here, Father God, build our faith. Those that don't know you here tonight, God, I pray that that would change, that you'd reveal yourself to them somehow, some way, God. Only you know how that's going to happen. Father, only you save. You saved Hagar by that creek when she was running for her life. She was so scared. My guess is there's someone in here tonight, God, that's just running for their life. Father God, you sent an angel to Hagar. Would you please send an angel to anyone tonight and save them, rescue them? Lord Jesus, you really did die on the cross for us. You really did come to this earth to pay the death penalty for the sins that we couldn't pay for. And so, Father God, we look to you. We want to surrender to you in the best way we know how, God. Repent to you. Father, just change my mind about even things that I have done as passively, God. I want to change my mind. I want to work. I want to lead by your grace and your mercy. I pray that, Father God, you would raise up a generation of men and women from these churches that the likes of this world have never seen. You do that for us, God. We love you. We need you. And we just thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.